Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Today's Tuesday, May the 16th, 2023. Thank you for listening to AFR. Well, not a lot happening in the world today, ladies and gentlemen, so we're just gonna play music. How about that? Oh, my word. I tell you what, I'll do the introductions in reverse today. Ray Pritchard, our brother's in Kansas City. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing today?
Doing well. Fred Jackson.
Howdy.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning. If you want to play music, I'm all about some Carpenters.
He will never forget that.
I know, right?
Yesterday once more is so touching.
Yeah, for those who don't know.
Top of the world.
We teased. Well, you got it. You're getting the song.
Oh, I Googled
it. You're getting the songbook of the Carpenters right there. For those who don't know, Chris is, what are you, 40 what?
I just turned 41.
41.
Although I've had gray hair since George W. Bush. H.W. Bush was way back.
So we teased brother Chris there about 70s music, and
yes,
he wasn't from.
You asked a question about rainy days and Mondays.
Yeah.
That somehow came up, and I said rainy days and Mondays. Always
I made
get
my
me
shut.
Down, you know, get me down,
and it was an air ball.
Yeah, I tell you what, if there's a more angelic voice than Karen Carpenter, I'd like to hear it. But she was one of a kind. Mm-hmm. Died of anorexia, sadly.
She did. Very sad.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, okay then. First of all, Ray, where are you in your year through the Bible reading?
We're in the book of Psalms, and we're just, you know, I'm taking Psalms 150 chapters, and so we broke it up into 10 groups of 15 apiece, and so we're just finishing up today a group of 15 psalms, Psalms 59 and 60. So about 5 days in the book of Psalms and then back into the other parts of the Old Testament.
All right, so how can people link up with you there? Watch that.
Just listen, come
video
to keepbelieving.com. That's the easiest way, keepbelieving.com. We post a new Bible reading video every morning at 7 o'clock Central Time. So there'll be a new one tomorrow and a new one the day after that and so on, rolling our way through the Word of God this year.
So by December 31st, you're going to have completed this video reading
God
of
will.
The Bible?
That's wow. Right. If my sanity and my voice, if they both hold out, Tim, it's always a question. But yeah, and you know, I've told people that we're but just because of my travel schedule and such, we're taping most of this ahead of time. But the week between Christmas and New Year's, we're going to do that live, literal live, 7 o'clock in the morning. We're going to read the book of Revelation out loud together as we wrap up the year.
Amen. Let's Amen. See. All right. Check out what Ray's talking about there at keepbelieving.com. Keepbelieving.com. Well, I tell you what I can't believe in. Wow, the Durham report and the role of the FBI.
Yes.
In what? Chris, tell us about it.
Well, in a story that you can read on our website, afn.net, I've also posted the link on the Today's Issues Facebook page. A final report from Special Prosecutor John Durham has condemned the FBI's decision back in 2016 to open a full investigation into the alleged involvement of Russia in the Donald Trump election campaign, saying it did so based on, quote, raw, unanalyzed, and uncorroborated intelligence. It's a 300-plus page report. And it goes on to say that investigators repeatedly relied on confirmation bias, ignoring or rationalizing away evidence that undercut their premise of a Trump-Russia conspiracy as they pushed the probe forward. To paraphrase all that in a nutshell, things Donald Trump was saying about people being out to get me and making things up, John Durham basically said what Trump's been saying is correct.
Hey, why don't you do a year-long reading through the Durham report?
I can do that.
We'll video you doing that because you were doing really well right
Thank
there.
You very much. I used my
All right, hands. Fred, what happened here, Fred?
Well, let's start. The genesis of this is the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign. This is where it got started. she had a lawyer by the name of Mark Elias. Basically, the order was from the Hillary Clinton campaign, go out and find some dirt about my competitor, Donald Trump.
Excuse me, just a minute, because some of this happened, pre-election.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And then some of this happened post-election.
Yeah.
So what you're talking about is the Hillary Clinton campaign prior to the election day with Donald Trump.
Absolutely.
16, right?
Yeah, 2016. Okay, go ahead. Mark Elias hires a group to go out and find somebody to do this research. The person they hire is Christopher Steele. From that comes the Steele dossier, which is a pack of lies, all right? They slip the Steele dossier, the campaign, to the FBI. Oh, boy. And there are people within the FBI like Peter Strzok, other names like that. They don't like Donald Trump, so they're just eating this up. Then they start their investigation of Donald Trump, and they give briefings to the Hillary Clinton campaign as to where their investigation is going. And then the Hillary Clinton campaign then says to the Washington Post and some other media, hey, you know what the FBI is doing? They're investigating Donald Trump. There's Russian collusion going on there. See the vicious circle in all of this? And what Durham says, the whole thing was a pack of lies. The whole thing was a pack of lies, but it was allowed to proceed because of the Donald Trump haters within the FBI and the Donald Trump haters within the mainstream media. What is the Washington Post got a Pulitzer Prize for their...
And the New York Times.
And the New York Times. But let us remember, during the election campaign, who was the president? Barack Obama. Who was the vice president? Joe Biden. There have been reports that Obama and Biden knew all about this as it was going on.
All right, Ray, what's your take on this?
There aren't many times when a report is as definitive as this one is, that there was not a shred of truth, not a shred of truth to the accusations of Russian collusion. And what Durham did was, and it took a long time. I read somewhere the longest special prosecutor in history. Well, the report is devastating. It is damning. In this case, President Trump has been not just exonerated, but I would say, guys, he's been completely exonerated. He said it's a hoax, and it was a hoax. He said they lied, and it's true they lied. He said the FBI was using its resources to try to destroy him, and that turns out to be exactly true. I just wonder at this point, will anybody pay any price for what was done? This is the FBI. We talk about the politicization of the Justice Department, but this is a step beyond anything I can remember. This is beyond dirty politics. This is something truly wrong at the highest levels of the American justice system.
Do we have that clip from Jake Tapper?
We do, yes.
Okay. All right, let me set this up real quickly. CNN, mm-hmm. the news network. So they have a show. Jake Tapper is the host of it's mm-hmm. daily, weekdays, right?
Late afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, so even he, Jake Tapper, had this to say. What clip is it?
It's number 7.
Had this to say.
Regardless, the report is now here. It has dropped. And it might not have produced everything of what some Republicans hoped for. It is, regardless, devastating to the FBI, and to a degree, it does exonerate Donald Trump.
That's CNN.
Yes.
Huh? Mm-hmm. Right there. Even they are saying this is devastating to the FBI. You know what happened here is, now the FBI is claiming, they claimed a couple years ago, we made some mistakes and we cleaned it all up, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Isn't that basically how they answered it?
That's it. Yeah, we've made some changes.
But no, that's not good enough. Somebody needs to be charged with crimes here,
yes.
in my view, mm-hmm. because if you have, conservatives are often mocked by using the expression deep state, aren't we?
Yes.
People say, you also believe in flat earth and Bigfoot and all this stuff. No, here is a glaring example of what the deep state really is. And they, the FBI here, forever, the FBI, you say those three letters, you know, we almost stand to attention and salute, because that's prestigious organization that's supposed to be apolitical.
Yes.
Right? But here in this case, they were out to get, they were working with, this is what Durham found out, correct me if I'm wrong here, the Clinton campaign colluded with the FBI with a made-up dossier about Donald Trump.
Yes.
And the FBI then went to the FISA court so they could spy on the Trump campaign.
They lied in an application to the FISA court.
And they knew, these people knew all along, these top officials, some of them at the FBI, knew all along that this was bogus.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And they went with it anyway.
Yes.
Because they were siding with Hillary Clinton and the Democrats.
That's
trying
right.
to defeat Donald Trump.
That's right.
And then after Trump got into office, then they tried to cut him off at the knees.
Yes.
Continuing with this made up stuff.
Well, we had the Mueller go on for 2 years.
2 years.
But here's the troubling thing, guys, too. This politicization of the justice system continues. Think about what happened when those parents in Loudoun County get fingered by the school board there. They go to the Attorney General of the United States, who refers to them as domestic terrorists. These parents who were upset about boys going into girls' washrooms. But, and also, don't forget, it is this FBI that went to the home of pro-lifer Mark Houck, 20 FBI agents heavily armed, to arrest this man who was a quiet protester outside of Planned Parenthood. This has happened in the last year.
Evidently, the Justice Department, the FBI is under the Justice Department.
It is.
Okay. Justice Department is the big federal agency, the overseen by the Attorney General of the United States.
Correct.
Attorney General of the United States is a cabinet-level position.
It is.
So the FBI falls under the jurisdiction, correct me if I'm wrong, of the...
Executive.
Justice Department.
That is right.
So, of course, James Comey, that name, we all remember that name. He's the one who let Hillary Clinton off the hook when she was caught dead to rights doing some classified material, classified emails on her server that she put in her basement at her house so she could avoid congressional oversight.
Right.
Right? And he said, I'm not going to prosecute that. You remember that?
Yes. Peter Strzok was put in charge of that investigation.
FBI agent. Yeah, he was a fan of Hillary Clinton. He was the one put in the overseeing the investigation. He didn't even put Hillary Clinton under oath.
No.
When they interviewed her for 2 hours. So the whole thing stinks, and it should never happen in a country like the United States. The FBI should be an apolitical organization. It should not take sides in politics. And in this case, what John Durham said is they did.
Mm-hmm.
They took the side of the Hillary Clinton campaign, and they tried to use the powers of the FBI to basically destroy the Trump campaign.
You mentioned Peter Strzok. All right. He was fired from the FBI.
Right.
I mean, it got so bad with him. Is it any surprise he was asked for his reaction yesterday to the Durham report? Listen to what he had to say. Cut five.
This is a predictable, sad ending to an investigation that never should have taken place. Shortly after he was announced in 2019, he went on the record, you know, as a prosecutor, making a rare public statement that he disagreed with IG Horowitz's conclusion that the investigation was appropriately launched. And then he spent the next 3 to 4 years with a cognitive bias trying to build a case that somehow it was. And we see the results today, and the results are clearly that he didn't come up with anything.
That's not true.
No.
Huh?
No.
That's not true.
He said John Durham is biased, and he came up with nothing.
Yeah. John Durham was appointed by William Barr,
who was
the Attorney General under President Trump.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Attorney Generals under President Trump. Jeff Sessions was the other one. I don't know if there was a third one. So anyway, What accountability there will be for this, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But the deep state is real.
Yes.
And they favor the Democrats.
Yeah.
Almost always. Mm-hmm. If you look at this.
And when you're in collusion with the mainstream media.
Right.
That's
the trifecta.
That's right.
It's the Democrat Party, it's the mainstream media, and it's the deep state.
Wow.
Yeah. So I mean it's real.
Yes.
Right. You know what? Yesterday Governor Ron DeSantis commented on this. Of course, he is considered a rival of former President Trump in the Republican race for who will win the nomination on the GOP side. But he had some comments about this too, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I do not have the audio here, but DeSantis, according to one link that I'll share here in just a sec, DeSantis iterates there is a need to clean house at federal agencies based on the Durham report.
Clean house. So I know if Trump gets in there, if he were to win the presidency, he would clean house. And DeSantis is saying the same thing. He would clean house. By clean house, you would have to fire Ray. There's so many people now in our country who do not trust the FBI any longer. So I don't know I don't know what you do to restore that reputation.
I don't know. Can you open the door and sweep away the whole top leadership of the FBI? I don't even know, guys, if that's possible. But to think about this report that came out, it's not just damning. It shows, and Fred, you were making it. It was a coordinated effort.
Right. Oh,
yeah. This wasn't just a couple of rogue agents going off the reservation, so to speak. No, this was a lot of different people working together to try to bring Donald Trump down.
And don't forget the Mueller report went on. The Mueller investigation went on for 2 years into this.
Yes,
and we paid for that dearly, and
came up with nothing.
Yeah.
All they came up with was we think something may have happened, but we can't prove it.
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah.
And don't forget, the Mueller had basically an unlimited budget, and it was shown that all the lawyers that he was hiring, maybe not all of them, but the vast majority of them, to do the work of the special prosecutor were Democrats. Yeah. They were Clinton contributors.
Yes.
Clinton campaign. So you talk about the deck being stacked.
You know, the only way you're going to change things, the Republicans would have to do a clean sweep in 2024.
You'd have to have a Republican win the White House.
Yes.
The Republican then would have to hire an attorney general.
Yes.
And they'd have to fire everybody.
Yes.
But you see, this sometimes this happens with companies. You go in and you just fire everybody. Now, I would probably say something like fire everybody who's been here less than 5 years, more than 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just clean the whole thing out. I'm talking about in D.C. I'm not talking about agents all over the country, you know, in field offices. That's unnecessary.
I think it would be interesting to have Ted Cruz head of the FBI. I'd like
you
to
talk about the liberals' head spinning off.
Jim Jordan.
Oh,
Ted Cruz.
Oh my word.
I'd love it.
Then Cher really would leave the country.
Yeah.
We'd all be better off.
Finally, all those promises from like 12 years ago, you know. I'm going to leave. Okay.
Okay.
There's the door.
All right,
Susan
so
Sarandon will not be missed.
There you go. We will see what goes. I tell you, a guy who can't sleep is Representative Jim Jordan.
I know
that guy's trying to investigate all of this.
That's why he never wears a coat. He's always working.
Yeah, I know. So anyway,
we do have some audio from Jim Jordan. If you want to.
Do you really?
We do.
Yes.
Okay.
This is hardworking man and congressman.
He's the congressman from Ohio.
Yes.
Who always has his shirt rolled up halfway up his arms.
Usually a tie a little loose around his neck.
Hey, I love that guy, man. He's a fighter. Let's hear from him.
Flip three.
You try to tell the truth, they call us names. They call us Russian sympathizers. They attack you, and the press is so eager to do that. And then ultimately, in the end, the one thing that is always proven right is we were right about it all along. The only thing we had wrong is in both situations, it was worse than we thought.
That's a good final line.
Yeah.
It's worse than what we thought.
It's kind of what Ray was saying earlier.
Yeah.
Now, Adam Schiff, who's said he has evidence of Russian collusion with President Trump, He's had this evidence for a long, long time, and he keeps holding back on us, Chris.
Yeah, I guess he's problem. He's getting distracted by possibly wanting to run for Dianne Feinstein's Senate seat.
Yeah, he didn't have anything.
No, he didn't, and he's getting hammered for that, and has been for months, a couple of years, really, because the Mueller stuff does go back, a couple of years.
All right, let's take a deep breath and move to the next story. What's the next story?
Oh, what is the next story? I mean, there,
is that
there's
all
a lot
you got?
To do there.
We'll play music?
Well, no, let's finish this, because we did talk about people needing to be held accountable here. And Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin is in agreement that people do need to be held accountable, including the media that is failing to hold people accountable. Clip one.
Because he also reveals the fact that President Obama, Vice President Biden, CIA Director John Brennan were all briefed in August of 2016 that the Hillary Clinton campaign had a scheme to falsely accuse Donald Trump of colluding with Russia. So the FBI knew, for example, the Steele dossier contained Russian disinformation, and yet they continued on with their investigation. They set up special counsel. They put America through the political turmoil of literally the entire 4 years of the Trump administration. And the real question on the table right now is, will the media hold anybody accountable? Will the media hold itself accountable? Because they've been covering this up for certainly the Democrats, the Bidens, and for themselves for years now.
Let me just say this to the liberal media. Of course, this is not new. This is not breaking news. And Fred, you talk about this a lot, and you have, the liberal mainstream media in this country, and the progressives, the so-called progressives, Abe calls them regressives. They want to defeat, crush Republicans and conservatives by any means necessary.
That is correct.
Ethical or not. Mm-hmm. Because they're on a mission, not a mission from God, but they feel that basically they feel they are God and they know what's best for America. And so if they can cut off any successes or chance of successes that Republicans have in politics, and you have to lie about it. Listen, I've said before, Republicans are humans too. They lie. We're all capable of lying and deceiving and cheating.
Perfectly biblical truth.
Yes. Richard Nixon. There's your prime example in history. So I'm not saying Republicans are saints. I'm saying that traditionally in our country's history, overall, we both Democrats and Republicans both had a sense of fairness. Okay. And the rule of law. And you could look at things objectively. Yeah, you hated when your side got caught doing something bad, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But like with Richard Nixon, for example. But in this case, these people that I've just described, they've taken the attitude that it doesn't matter if we lie, cheat, and steal, as long as we beat those Nazis.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the Nazis being the Republicans and conservatives. That's their view. Look at Alexandria
Ocasio-Cortez,
AOC, the representative from New York. Remember she was out down at the border crying when Donald Trump was president, saying we putting kids in cages?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, she didn't go there anymore.
No.
Even though, quote, kids are in cages.
Still.
And on the southern border. So it's politics. It's sad, really. And I got other words for it. But we'll be back momentarily. Frank Turek will be with us in just a minute.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's pardon me. Fred, you do it.
Welcome back. to this Tuesday edition of Today's Issues.
Wow.
We're all here.
I told a sad story in the break and then got choked up.
That's
yeah. Right. Rainy days and Tuesdays always get me down.
Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, somebody put some cayenne pepper in the in the popcorn.
Yeah. All right, so Fred, before we get to our interview with Frank, we were talking about the role of the mainstream media in this country now, and they've always pretty much been liberal.
Mm-hmm.
But there, something has happened in the last, I don't know, 15 or 20 years. The journalists who used to pride themselves on objectivity and truthfulness and getting the story right, reporting both sides, that's gone by the wayside now, right?
Yeah, and I've been here 26 years. But 20 years prior to me coming here, I worked in secular media in Canada. And I saw the transition there. When I started with the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which is Canada's NPR, very strict rules. I had former BBC people teaching me, you keep your opinion out of the stories. All you're here to do is reflect what's going on out there. But I saw a complete transition over 20 years to, we want you to put your biases in your stories. And it just took off. Mm-hmm. All of us, and of course, all they wanted, the only people they wanted hired were people with a left-wing mentality, right. Worldview.
They hire their own,
yes,
so to speak.
Shortly after I came here, I wrote an article for our journal here, and I called it Agents of Change. And that's what the journalists see themselves now, not as we're going out there to tell the world what's going on in their world. No, we're going out there to change the world.
We're
going to
advocate.
We're going to advocate for causes. And we're going to treat the people that agree with our cause nicely. The people who disagree with us, we are going to paint them in the worst possible light.
Right. But we're going to project ourselves as honest brokers.
Yes. Yes. There's a place for opinion.
So just... The Washington Post and the New York Times, two of the largest news agencies in America, they got Pulitzer Prize,
I know,
which is the top award you can get for journalism, for reporting on Trump's
Russian
collusion story.
Yes,
which now was a work of fiction.
Yes, somebody asked
maybe
yesterday.
They can get an award for fiction.
Yeah, somebody asked yesterday, do you think they'll give back those prizes? Like we did, we really did a bad job.
And you hear these stories about these, especially the New York Times. There, you have to be a far lefty just to be a janitor.
Yes,
huh? There. This doesn't even touch the stories we talked about before. If I start down that road, where the New York Post broke the story about the Hunter Biden laptop 2 weeks prior to the election of between Trump and. Biden, and Twitter, it's one of the reasons Elon Musk bought it, Twitter and Facebook and others decided we're not going to cover that story because it might hurt Biden.
Yes.
And then the deep state said, yeah, it has all the earmarks of Russian collusion. Remember those 50?
Yes.
What do you call them?
Intelligence people.
Intelligence people. Signed this letter. Yeah. Right. And it was just trying to cover. In fact, they said it was.
Uh-huh.
One of them emailed and said, hey, we got to give Joe Biden something to answer Donald Trump with.
Talking points.
In the debate.
Yeah.
Right.
So there you go. We're going to move on now. Our guest is Dr. Frank Turek. Frank's with us every Tuesday that he can be. And he is the host of Cross Examined, heard Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Time and Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Frank, good morning to you.
In the name of inclusion, tolerance, and diversity, here I am.
All right, what do you think about all this, Frank?
Well, I think you're absolutely right that the folks who say they're fighting for tolerance are often the most intolerant people out there. And I think now the news has become more and more politicized and more opinionated. It used to be that, you know, they would put the editorial comments on the editorial page. Now it's front page news. That's why every day I read the New York Times and the Bible just to see what both sides are doing.
Oh, me. Well, all right. Let's see. What are we going to talk? Frank, what's our top?
Yeah, university campuses, the DEI policies, diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Well, they've added a letter, Fred. Have you heard the letter? They have.
Okay.
It's the alphabet now. It's JEDI.
JEDI.
Which is cool. Yeah, it's JEDI, justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion.
Ah, okay.
Okay,
is what happens when Disney buys Star Wars.
That's right. Right there, Christopher.
Okay. Number one, can you give us an overview of what that is?
Well, let's just point out it's internally contradictory. I had a friend of mine who was at a situation here in Charlotte. He was actually attending a business conference, and the CEO got up and said he was for JEDI, justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I said, man, I wish somebody was there to ask him this question. Sir, does your assistant make the same amount as you make? Oh, she doesn't. What happened to equity? She's not making your salary? I thought you believed in equity. No, you see, justice and equity are opposites.
Mm-hmm.
Justice says you get what you deserve. Equity says everyone gets the same. They can't be the same. And so if you're for justice, equity, right there, you're for two different things. And if you're going to try and apply either one of those things universally, one is going to interfere with the other. And as we know, diversity does not mean having diverse ideas. Diversity means that everybody thinks the same.
Yeah.
And if you don't think the same, then you're going to be excluded. Because inclusion doesn't mean inclusion. Inclusion means if you don't agree with our set of rules, you're going to be excluded. Now, here at the American Family Radio Network, we believe that the Bible's true. And we believe that we're going to hire people that have that belief generally. But we broadcast that. We say, yeah, we believe the Bible's true. There's evidence that it's true, and we are going to support that, okay? But it would be odd if we held those beliefs and didn't tell anybody about them and said we were completely neutral, and yet we were promoting only the idea that the Bible was true. That's kind of what the New York Times and these other leftist media, they say they're neutral. They claim to be neutral, but they're not. At least we're showing our cards here on the American Family Radio Network. And we're giving evidence as to why Christianity is true.
Just as related to that, yesterday in Florida, mm-hmm. Governor Ron DeSantis announced what, Chris?
They are defunding
the
state of Florida. Is defunding diversity, equity, and inclusion programs at Florida's public colleges, of which there are many.
Amen. Pass the hat.
I wonder if other states will try to do that, or have they? That you know of? You know
there are at least 25 other states who are run by Republicans.
Yeah,
right.
You chuck them at going to war with the left, huh?
Yes,
because that's one of their golden calves right there.
Well, because it means they're supporting. It means they're supporting leftist causes. That's what JEDI is.
Yes.
It's not true diversity. Unity is our strength, not diversity. You can't have a community unless you have a common unity. Yeah. And diversity is the idea, at least on paper, that everybody believes something different. It really means everybody believes the same, and it's only the leftist ideas that you have to believe if you want to be a part of the club.
Yeah. Hey, Ray, let me ask you this, and Frank can comment on this. I'm seeing this word used all the time now in the on blogs and left-wing media and Democrats, not all of them, a lot of them, to describe especially Christians, conservatives, politically Republicans, half the country, okay, pretty much, we're being described as something called fascist. And so, Brad, I'd like you to comment on it, and then Frank can comment on it. Why are they trying to? What do the left mean when they keep calling us fascist?
Well, the problem here, and Frank can go into this a little deeper, but the problem here is the left's looking in the mirror, and they're seeing themselves in the mirror, and they're projecting their own totalitarian impulses upon us. Because as Christians, we've argued for a long time, we want a free marketplace of ideas. We're asking for a seat at the table. We want our views to be heard, but we understand there are a lot of viewpoints out there that may disagree with us completely. That's okay. Let's have a free fight out in the marketplace and may the best ideas win. It's on the left where these totalitarian impulses are coming from. So they're just projecting on us what they actually wish would happen. They would get rid of us if they could. They would get rid of our ideas, our viewpoints, and us personally if they could. Frank, that's my best effort. Up to you now.
No, I think you're right. I think when you think of a fascist, you normally think of a Nazi, right? That's an authoritarian ideology with a dictatorial leader who is going to suppress any opposition. Well, it really seems to me that the left is the one that's for censorship. It's not the right when it comes to the free market of ideas in the public square. It's the left that wants people go, oh, you're trying to censor books. Well, look, there's a difference between shielding your kids from pornography and telling adults what they can and can't say in public. And the right, at least conservatives, want to conserve the First Amendment and allow people to express themselves within certain limits, obviously. You don't want them spewing profanity. You don't want them giving pornography to children, these kind of things. The right is saying we don't want those things before our children, but if adults want to partake in it, they can. All right? It's the left that wants to end all debate, even on issues of gender. They want to end all debate on issues of marriage. See, they want to cancel the debate because they can't really win on the merits. So they have to change the language to get you to believe something that really isn't true.
Yes. What the left is doing by describing people like us as fascist, what they're trying to do is say people like us, we don't deserve our ideas to even be heard in public because they're repulsive at the core.
That's by right. What standard? We need to ask them, by what standard are these?
Because they said so.
Yeah, that's it. They don't have a standard. It's whatever they said. You know, Nietzsche, the great atheist, said a man's spirit is determined by how much truth he can tolerate. Think about that. A man's spirit is determined by how much truth he can tolerate. I see a lot of people trying to suppress the truth. They're trying to suppress the truth about gender. They're trying to suppress the truth about marriage. They're trying to suppress the truth about abortion. They're trying to suppress the truth about Christianity. They're trying to suppress the truth because they can't tolerate it. And even Nietzsche admitted this. A man's spirit is determined by how much truth he can tolerate.
You know, it's really interesting to kind of demonstration what you guys are talking about. Look what happens when conservatives go to university campuses.
Like Frank does.
Yeah. You know, and I'm thinking of lawyers who have gone to speak, various conservative lawyers from Alliance Defending Freedom and others.
They get judges even.
They get shouted down by the law students there. We don't even want to hear what you are saying.
You fascist.
Yes. And I'll tell you what. There are fights in various states going on over school choice right now. Texas is the latest scene on this.
Yeah.
You know what? It is the teachers' union that doesn't want school choice because they want the ability, wholesale ability, to indoctrinate the kids.
Yeah.
They don't want school choice because kids will learn the conservative perspective on morality. They'll learn the conservative perspective on the history of this country. And the teachers' union don't want that. That the education system in this country have been so accustomed to having everything their way and for all of us to have to pay for left-wing indoctrination that's been going on. They want the taxpayers, conservative taxpayers, to pay to indoctrinate our kids to hate conservatism.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Frank, what you got coming up on your show this weekend?
Well, right now, today, Tim, I have a book that has just come out. It's called Correct, Not Politically Correct, and it's about same-sex marriage and transgenderism. It's a book I wrote many years ago. I just updated it because of the transgender issue. So there's about 30 new pages in there about transgenderism. Again, it's called Correct, Not Politically Correct. It really is just released today, ironically. And it was just written earlier this year, so it's very fresh. There's a lot going on with the transgender movement. And this book is written to somebody who might not even be a Christian. I'm not quoting Bible verses in the book. I'm just pointing out, because of science, because of natural law, because of the medical effects of transgenderism and even same-sex marriage, that these things are not good for individuals and they're not good for a country. So if somebody is interested in that topic, and I hope you are because it's sort of sweeping the country, and you want to get informed on it, I have quite a bit in there. I'm quoting medical journals. I mean, it's easy to read, but I'm quoting evidence, even evidence from the pre-politicized CDC on this. So hopefully this book will be helpful to you. It's called Correct, Not Politically Correct.
What's your website?
Same-sex marriage and transgenderism. I'll be talking about it this week on the radio program as well. Our website's crossexamine.org. You can get the book on Amazon. You can also get it on our website.
Frank's show is live Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. Central Time and Sunday afternoons at 4 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. The rumor was that your book tour on this book you're describing is going to be sponsored by Bud Light. I don't know. Is that any truth to that? Or
I can either confirm nor deny, Tim. No, it's definitely not. Well, actually, it's not going to be. That's pretty good, though, man. That's like a Babylon Bee headline.
Yeah.
Right
well,
there.
I try. All right, Frank, take care.
Good.
Appreciate
All right,
it, brother.
God bless you guys. See you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye. Frank Turek there. Frank, he travels the country and he speaks on a lot of college campuses, both Christian and secular. And he'll do these where he speaks on, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. And then he'll take questions from
brave man.
Anybody. Mm-hmm. So you do it. Frank's doing his part. All right, what's your next story?
Well, speaking of college campuses and students and graduates being told a bunch of malarkey, one of those people sharing malarkey has been President Joe Biden. We've talked about this a little bit on the show already this week, but we're going to continue to cover it because I got some sound bites here. As we have reported on AFN in this here program, President Joe Biden was speaking to graduates at Howard University over the weekend when Biden repeated the line that he's been saying for a couple of years now, that white supremacy is the greatest threat to our nation. So what you're going to hear is Biden saying a little bit of that and some reaction from Fox News contributor Ben Domenech. Clip 9.
Stand up against the poison of white supremacy, as I did in my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy.
But one thing that I do think is true about Joe Biden's remarks here is that they are once again an example of how he is not actually a healer. He is not someone who is actually empathetic. He is not trying to bring us together. Instead, he is waging an age-old battle based on racial divides in order to cover up for his failures as president. And it's absolutely disgusting. It's something that's very obvious.
Now, I can play another bite here, or we can stop and get your thoughts.
A bite of who?
Another sound bite.
From who?
This is Horace Cooper of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network talking to us at AFN about Biden's remarks. Clip 10.
It's absolutely shameful. This is a lie. Project 21 has repeatedly called on this administration to release any documentation or support that would justify such a claim. This is not the first time, and apparently as part of a measure to try to galvanize black Americans, politically especially, this president is prepared to tell this lie about America and in particular about whites. There's no justification for it, and a president is supposed to be trying to find ways to unite. To casually claim that wherever you live, whoever your neighbors are, if they happen to be white, you need to be on guard, as if It was 1925, and the Ku Klux Klan, which was the Democrats' military wing at the time, is now out to get you. Shame on Joe Biden.
Well, was it P.T. Barnum, Ray, that said there are suckers born every...
Born every minute.
Every
right?
minute?
And, you know...
What Biden is trying to do there is really disgraceful. He's really... Well, he's a from, I think, Michael, who was it that said, he's a panda bear.
Yeah.
he's Biden is speaking there at a historically black college. Was that Howard University?
It was.
And do you have that whole clip where they start laughing when he says, I'm
oh,
not?
Yeah.
Okay. We played this yesterday, but I think this is very telling. Yes, there's some light applause in the audience when he mentions white supremacy as being the greatest threat to our country. I'm sorry, that's a LOL. Oh. But he says, listen to the response from, I'm guessing it's a vast majority, African Americans, when he says, I'm not just saying that because I'm speaking at a black college. Even they recognize by their laughter... Yes, you are doing that
yes.
because you're at about so you're not genuine. Go ahead.
It's a battle that's never really over. But on the best days, enough of us have the guts and the hearts to stand up for the best in us. To choose love over hate, unity over disunion, progress over retreat. To stand up against the poison white supremacy, as I did my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. And I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say it wherever I go.
Okay. Maybe there was more than light applause, but you could tell there was... laughter when he said, I'm not saying that just because I'm at a black college. You know, if white supremacy were the greatest threat to our country, they would have the white supremacists would have television networks, radio affiliates, they would have marches and they would be involved in city councils and state legislatures, and I guess some on the left will say, well, they are. Well, what Biden means, anybody who's a Republican is a white supremacist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what he's saying. Ironically, one of Biden's best friends was Robert Byrd.
Yes.
The late senator from West Virginia who was a grand wizard of the KKK.
Yes.
Now, Byrd's been dead, 25 years or so. But Biden didn't mind hanging out with him when he was in the Senate all those years. So he's just making this stuff up, and he's trying to further divide the country racially. And while he's claiming to be, he's the uniter.
Just people like to talk about race baiting and race hustling and all of that. Well, this is an example of what that is. And the shock is it's coming not from some fringe figure. It comes from the president of the United States. And the only reason he's saying it where he said it is because where he was.
Right.
This is an attempt at racial division. They even laughed at it, Tim, because it's so transparently obvious.
Yeah. Another thing is Biden knows that the Democrats need 90% of African Americans to vote for them, which has been traditionally true, 85-90%. I mean, it's been a block vote for Democrats forever, the African American vote. So you've got to keep them, you've got to keep black folks thinking that, you know, the Grand Wizard is right around the corner ready to put you back. What did he say? Put you back in chains?
Yep. Put you back in chains.
Put you back. That's what Biden said about 5 years ago. He said they want to put you back in chains.
Well, he also said, what, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black?
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
This is
he tried to use a black what would you say, accent? Not an accent, but you know the way that black folks talk sometimes to one another. He tried to use that when he said they want to put y'all back in chains.
Yeah. It's the same Joe Biden that once said you can't go to a 7-Eleven in Delaware without hearing an Indian accent.
Yeah, he's just shameless, man. Absolutely. When he is coherent. Yeah. Oh, man. All right. But he's ready to unleash his campaign again.
Finish the job.
Yep.
Finish the job. Did you see where Harris, Vice President Harris, her numbers are worse than Biden's?
Yeah.
Her numbers are worse than Biden's, and it was reported yesterday that Reid Biden has announced he's going to run again is because the Democrats don't want Harris as their candidate for president. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.